What we want to do here this afternoon is take a look here geographically at Israel, okay? And just some interesting things, some things I find very interesting about our study, and a couple things we want to point out to you in this. You can turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, we've ended up last time here in verse number 12, considering about the sixth angel pouring out this sixth vial of the wrath of God. These seven angels have been given these vials out of the temple of the Lord, and they're pouring them out upon the earth. And this judgment is going forth. We've seen that in these plagues, we've seen their duplicate plagues of that which the Lord did in Egypt, of several of them. And instead of it being on a nation like Egypt, now it's upon the world and the inhabitants of the world. And the Lord also in this is also dealing with Israel to bring Israel to Him. So we read here in Revelation 16, verse 12, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." So Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, "for they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world." So John saw them as frogs, but what the interpretation of it is, it's wicked spirits to go around and sucker everybody in the world to come to this, to come against the Lord's people and against the Lord. "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth," the Lord says, "and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, lest they see his shame." And I think that's the Lord talking to Israel, okay? "And he gathered them together in the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Okay, now we understand the New Testament comes to us, or was most originally written in the Greek, but this Hebrew tongue, these are a Hebrew word about Armageddon, which is interesting. And then we come to this seventh angel and the seventh vial. Okay, so here we have the land of Israel, and this is during the time of David's reign and everything being united. And what we want to consider, I'd mentioned to you about the Valley of Jezreel, okay? We got some prophecy. When we read about the Battle of Armageddon and some different prophecies concerning that in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, Zechariah, and Joel, we saw different things. We saw about references to the Valley of Jezreel. There's also the reference there of the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which there is no place called the Valley of Jehoshaphat that's known, but it may be Jezreel, or it may be on down south. There's also a reference to the Lord trampling the grapes of the wrath of God Almighty, and there's a reference to Him coming from Bozra and Idumea and Edom and such as that. And so these are the kind of things geographically we want to take a look at. So this Valley of Jezreel, there's what we want to consider here first. Here's a satellite view of Israel, modern day Israel, and you see the marker here that is from the search that I did for the Valley of Jezreel, you know, present day. It's in that area. And so we're going to zoom in on that and getting closer. And then that is how they mark the Valley of Jezreel today if you do a search for it Google-wise, okay? In that area. Aflua is a town that's kind of in the center of that, the way it's estimated today. Here's Nazareth, all right? That's a familiar city. All right, and this is, let me back up. You kind of see where it's at relative. See down here is Jerusalem. All right, and then here's the Jordan River. This is the Dead Sea. Here's the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. And in this area here is the Jezreel Valley. Here's a map of it. And we've got this verse that we just read here in Revelation 16, 16. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. You take a look at the word Armageddon, okay, and these are some of the helps that I use, the brethren use in studying. This is taking a look at a Strong's Concordance, okay, to take a look at the meaning of words. We can go back, take the English word, go back and find out what the Greek or the Hebrew word is, and then we can find other scriptures where it's used, and that's one way that we use to study. And so the word Armageddon is a Hebrew word, but it's rendered here, you know, this is the Greek reference for it in the New Testament. But it tells us here, when you see these H's, it's talking about Hebrew words, and these two words are the Hebrew words used to get Armageddon. Okay, so Armageddon is the Greek word, G for Greek, 717, and then these two Hebrew words, okay, Armageddon or Har-Mageddon, okay, symbolic name, Armageddon. So we're going to, I found this interesting, when we break this down, we take a look at the two Hebrew words that go into making that name of Armageddon. Here's the first one, Har, okay, it's a shortened form of this other word, you can see the number for it, a mountain or range of hills. Okay, sometimes it's used figuratively, and it's all of its usage in the Hebrew, in the scripture. A hill, a mount, or it can also mean a promotion. Okay, so that's that first word, Har, Armageddon, Har. And then the second one is this, Mageddon, or Megiddo, okay. I find this interesting. It's from this Hebrew word, so you can go back and take a look and trace, look back about roots of words, you know, where one word, our language is that way, it goes back to other words or pieces of word. Interesting thing about the English language is we've got words from all kinds of other languages that have been brought into the English. But here, look at this. Look at the meaning for Megiddon. The meaning for Megiddon. Rendezvous. Rendezvous. I found that very interesting, okay? Because the Lord is going to gather all the armies of the nations together at Armageddon, Har-Mageddon, okay? And so, and this is also referring as Megiddon or Megiddo, place in Palestine. We'll take a look at where that's at. Here, I showed you that. That's a satellite view. That's a map view of the same area. A little bit easier to look at from the standpoint of the roads and stuff like that. When we take a look at this on the map view, this is a current map view, okay? I just looked this up the other day. Tel Megiddo, or Megiddo, Rendezvous, all right? The town of Megiddo is on, and I'll show you this in a topographical look, see, but see that green there? It's on a mountain ridge to the southwest overlooking the Jezreel Valley. And there's been battles fought in that Jezreel Valley, and the Lord seemingly is going to fight there in days to come. Okay, we take a look here. This is more of a topographical map. Look here at the Mediterranean Sea, all right? And this is a ridge of mountains here coming down, and Megiddo right there. So all this is the plain, the valley of Jezreel. Interesting that some cities there, maybe that you remember, the city of Nain, the Lord brought a man back from the dead there. Right off of the valley of Jezreel is Nazareth. Also another town, Gath Hepher. Remember who's from Gath Hepher? Jonah. Search and look. No prophet comes out of Galilee, they answered Nicodemus. Oh, yeah, there is. And the Lord set him straight with that. Old Jonah came out of Gath Hepher, and he came out of Galilee. I thought about this. Jesus grew up here in Nazareth, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, his mother Mary. And no doubt Joseph taught him his trade of a carpenter, and he went about, and to what extent, you know, the Lord worked and would go out maybe and gather wood, and they would cut it and season it or whatever. And if it is so, if we're reading this right and understand this right, that one of the things that the Lord, one of the places the Lord will fight at is in the Jezreel Valley. Can you wonder Don't we wonder what he was thinking about that, knowing that would come to be? Armageddon, the place Armageddon. Okay, so it's not like it's a figurative reference to generally what the Lord would do, but it's as much a reference to a place as Basra is. Okay? Very interesting. Tel or Har along the mountain range, Megiddo, rendezvous here at the Valley of Jezreel. Wow. Isn't that something? I find that very interesting. And here's to the right of that, what we look to the east rather. Here's that valley come down from the Mediterranean, and then the city of Megiddo. And then over here we have the city of Nain. So you can kind of make the connection in your mind. Nain over here on the right by Mount Moriah. All right. And then we come on down here, and there's Nain again. Here's Jezreel, from which the valley is named. And here we have the Jordan River. It's like a wide open shot. It's like a wide open shot from the Mediterranean all the way through the Valley of Jezreel, all the way over to the Jordan Valley. It's like unobstructed. We saw there in the scripture in the latter part of the last verse in chapter 14 of Revelation, where the blood is going to run to the horse's bridle for such a distance as 1,600 furlongs. You know, I always thought, and my consideration of that has always been that wherever that would be fought, that in the place, in the valley, in the place that the blood would run that high. But I'm kind of wondering, with it being in a valley, every valley has drainage, doesn't it? Every valley in the Jordan has tributaries that flow into it. And I wonder if that's not going to be a reference to some of that drainage of the Jezreel Valley, how it will flow with blood. There's going to be a great destruction. Going to be a great destruction. A great fighting of the Lord with the words of His mouth to all the armies of the world assembled against His people and Him and against His nation and Him. And He will destroy them. We saw in Zechariah where the plague of the soldier and the plague of the horse and the beast and all those that would be there would be that they would just be consumed away before the Lord. And I don't think that that's a reference to after the 1,000-year millennial reign. I'm thinking that that's Armageddon. With the brightness of His coming, He will, all the Lord's got to do is just let off on squelching down His glory, and men will be destroyed before Him. What a fabulous, wondrous thing that will be. All right, here's a topographical map, and this is showing the Jezreel Valley here. And so you can see, I've been standing in front of some of y'all. Here's mountain ranges, but here's the Jezreel Valley, and this is some of the things. This illustration and map and topo describes what Gideon, some of the things that Gideon did. And you see the path is suspected that he followed because of the ease of travel. Here's the Jordan River Valley. And he just came right out of there, the Jezreel Valley area, and the area of Jezreel, came right on down. And right on down through here is going to ultimately lead to Jerusalem. So it's been a known way and place of travel in centuries gone by. Here's another topographical map. And you can see this is from the southeast, or over here at the southeast. Here's the Mediterranean and the plain here, the Jezreel Valley, coming all the way over here to the Jordan. Okay, and there's the Sea of Galilee. This is the northern part of Galilee and all that there. I wonder what the Lord thought about during the day of His ministry as He walked those areas, went down to be baptized to John. Could have very well went that way. I mean, if you were traveling with me, I'd want to take the lowest, flattest place we could walk. Amen, Brother Doug? Yeah, we wouldn't want to go up and down. And so that, and no doubt he traveled through there and knew that those things would come to pass. Here's another topographical map. It's larger. Up here's the Jezreel Valley depicted. And then over here to the Jordan River Valley. We see here Jerusalem, number 19. I know that may be hard to see. Here's Jerusalem. Up here on these seven hills. It's kind of got a natural valley going into it from the Mediterranean, but then also there's access this direction too. And Jerusalem has somewhat of a natural fortification, but you can see right there. They traveled very easily out to Bethany and on over to where John was baptizing, in Anon, right? That's where John the Baptist was baptizing. And it says there that they came to him from all kinds of regions around, but also from Jerusalem. And so there's an easy route of travel there. Well, why is that important, Brother Jim? Well, because the nations of the earth are going to come against Jerusalem also. And so this is the topography now. What else did I want to show you there? Okay, we'll go on here. Here's another one. This shows it a little different way, maybe a little clearer. Up here is the Jezreel Valley and the Sea of Galilee there. And it's showing some of the distances. It's only 55 kilometers from here to there. 15 kilometers from the foothills of this mountain range over to the... Israel's a little place. Here's that valley that goes towards Jerusalem from the Mediterranean. And then you can see there's a valley over in there heading towards Jerusalem and then the Dead Sea. All right. In Zechariah 14:10, all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Okay, this is a verse that we talked about. There's going to be great earthquake. There's going to be a great shaking that the Lord's going to do in final part of His coming and defending Israel and causing it to where those that remain of Israel can even escape and such as that. Having a hard time putting all those things together. We know that they're there. We know that there are things that are going to happen. And so here in Zechariah where we read, it's the land is going to be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. So taking a look and considering about that, and we've looked at that topography, consider here's Jerusalem, okay? And up here is, see, there's Benjamin, okay? There's the tribe of Benjamin, generally where Benjamin's territory is, okay? And this passage says that the land is going to be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, okay? We take a look at a map here. Here's Jerusalem. And here's Geba in Benjamin. There's a Rimmon that's up here in Zebulun. But the scripture there says south of Jerusalem. And the best that I can find is what some scholars say is that Rimmon and Beersheba is the same place. Look at how mountainous that is here, going from here all the way down south into Judah. If Beersheba is the place, if that's the same place, all that's going to be turned into a plain from the shaking of the Lord, what the Lord's going to do when He comes. Whoa, what a sight that's going to be. And then we read in Isaiah 34, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozra and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Bozra, okay, and then we also read this verse in Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. It goes on there that he says that he's tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God alone. Okay? So, we want to consider here, where is Bozra? Okay? Here is, on this map, and I know that's hard to see, here's Benjamin. And in this area is, there's Jerusalem. And down here's Beersheba, a plain that is going to be made. All that mountainous. See, this is the hill country of Judea where John the Baptist was raised up. Okay? And it's not going to be hill country anymore. It's going to be like a plain from the working of the Lord. You know where Bozrah is? Well, here's Edom and here's Bozrah. So there seems to be something in the fighting of the Lord for Israel that there's going to be some fighting he's going to do up here at Har Megiddon, okay? And also something he's going to do down here in Edom, Bozrah, Idumea, that's this region here. That's Esau's land. And modern day, I didn't get an up-to-date map, but this is, over here is, this is Jordan, right? Jordan to the north, Syria, and then we've got Saudi Arabia down here in the Sinai Peninsula. Remember, there's kings coming from the east. Okay? Now, the Valley of Jezreel is there towards the Mediterranean. And no doubt there would be some that would come that way, seemingly. But then there's that thing that we read here about the Euphrates River. And we saw that in one of the vials. We read about the Euphrates River in the sixth vial, that the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And so, you know, we say Euphrates River and say, okay, yeah, you know, I don't keep that kind of geography in my mind. But look where the Euphrates River is. Isn't that something? Up there in Turkey, all the way down here through the cradle of civilization, there on the, through Iraq and Syria. Yeah, and here's Jordan, okay, that's modern-day Jordan, Syria's to the north, Saudi Arabia down here. Look at that. Who lives up here? Russia's up in there, Moscow. Moscow's up there. And then over this direction, all these, you know, Afghanistan, Pakistan, all those stands, Kazakhstan, and then the Asians and the Indians and China and all that over there to the east. Man, you dry up the Euphrates, it's like a straight shot through, isn't it? Isn't that something? Here's another view of it. A little bit different view. The Lord's going to dry up that river. Going to dry it up. And then here's Georgia. And there's a mountain range there. There's some historical significance about this mountain range and the folks that have lived in this area and such. But they're going to be able to come over here. Look at Israel, little old Israel. They're going to be going to tear their shirt about Israel. But the Lord's going to deal with them. And so I hope that that's would be a help to you. And if you haven't looked at that geography before, and understanding about where all those things are. Okay. Let me do this. Okay. So then we pick it up here with this last vial, okay? Let's look at this. Revelation 16, verse 17, the scripture says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air," up in the air, "and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done." Seventh vial, thrown up in the air, and a declaration, what's that? A declaration from the temple and from the throne saying, it's done. That's it. "And there were voices and thunders," verse 18, "and lightnings, And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. Worst earthquake that's ever been. This one's going to be worse. Going to shake the whole world. No wonder every valley every mountain will be made low and every valley will be filled. It's going to be fulfilled at the coming of the Lord. Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. What's the great city? It's Jerusalem. I don't know what other city would be the great city in the mind of the Lord. That's the context here. Then Jerusalem divided into three parts. And the cities, look at the contrast. There's the great city. And the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon came into remembrance before God. I believe that's Babylon, mystery Babylon, the way of man, the way of man religiously, economically, and socially or government-wise. The whole system came in remembrance before God. Because remember, what was man supposed to do? Supposed to have dominion over the earth to the honor and glory and praise of God. And have we? No, not naturally, not in and of ourselves. We have not. And the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Islands gone, mountains gone. I mean, the Lord's going to shake this place and flatten it out. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. Now, if I understand a talent, I heard years ago about what's believed to be a talent. It would be what a man could carry for a day. Jerry was in the Army, and a full backpack might be 120 pounds, right? If that's the case, let's just say it's 60-pound hail. That's going to, it'll tear up everything around, won't it? Every building. What trees are left, it'll decimate them. It'll mess up everything. And listen to what's said. Stone about the weight of a talent, and men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. They're seeing the great power of God. Oh, indeed, they're cut to the heart. Because what's missing? The Spirit of God's not at work anymore, is he? Not in the salvation of sinners, not in the convicting of hearts, not in the pricking of hearts. It's done. And the Lord's putting an end to sin. And the Lord is bringing this to an end. Because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. These coming chapters are going to tell about Babylon, mystery Babylon, and details about her demise. We want to read over here, and I want to remind you of this before we close. Here it says in verse number 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." Remember, all of these, everything that we've been for several sessions that we've taken a look at this, these seven vials and even stuff before, were all part of this seventh trumpet or last woe, okay? And let's tie this back here to chapter 10 and read this again here in chapter 10. We might be reminded about it. Listen to what it says here. There were seven thunders. John was told not to write them. In chapter 10, verse number 5, and the angel which I saw stand on the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants and prophets. It is finished. It's done. No one will be able to stand before the Lord. They'll blaspheme the Lord, and they'll carry on, and they'll look to fight against the Lord. There'll be no fighting against Him. Praise God, we've been delivered. We're not appointed unto wrath. We're not appointed unto that. Praise the Lord for it. And praise the Lord for His work on behalf of Israel and Jerusalem, His nation and His people. He's going to take these so very severe things, and they're going to be directed at them. They're going to be directed at the nation. And He's going to take a remnant of His people, and He's going to save them. The Jews are going to be convinced that He is Messiah. Just like He convinced you and me that are saved, that He's a Savior. He's going to convince them. And then the Lord is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. An old earth that's been shook down flat and healing that He's going to bring. And Israel is going to burn the weaponry of those that came against them for 7 years. And that's going to give the land relief from the standpoint of the wood and all that. And the Lord is going to be a provider for the whole earth. What a blessing it is that the Lord has shown us some of these things. May the Lord help us to be able to put it together and understand it as we need to. We're not appointed unto wrath. We have been saved, and we need to rejoice in that and praise the Lord and thank the Lord for it. For you that are here not saved, you need to flee the wrath to come. Because just as sure as you and I are here, it's coming. It's coming. And without Christ, you have no hope. But in Christ, you can have all hope. And we point you to Him.